Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson
and I'm Helen Thorne.
Who are you?
I'm out of I'm out of White House. I've got it.
Yeah,
we're all shouting because we're excited. Can we just say from the get go, this has taken a fucking months to organise, and things like my daughter getting sick and being in hospital, the internet not working, you just being successful,
selfishly,
her being busy doing things.
It wasn't just the internet that went down last time. It was like the fact that the mics weren't working, Everything crashed. I think you were asking for your dad at one point. He's not going to help, babe.
Yeah. So we are finally fucking sitting around a table.
It does feel like this podcast was cursed. The house will probably be on fire by the end of it, I expect.
Yes, one of us will just burst into flames at any point.
Shall we actually say who she is? What did you call her the other day, Helen?
Oh, Hannah Puckhouse.
No, Hannah Puckhouse.
Hannah Fuckhouse. I'll take it. I've been called Anna White Stag, Anna White Horse, and I'm White House. The house is white.
Yes. We've had scrummy mummies, scrumpy mummies, yummy mummies.
Oh my God.
People always put an E on the end of Helen Thorne, which drives you up.
Absolutely.
So we feel your pain. Anna Whitehouse.
Hey.
AKA Mother Pucker.
Also in Holland, they call me Mother Pucker. Which just kind of loses the kind of bam, you know? Yeah. Like they're like, what is this pucker? I'm like, it's Mother Pucker.
It sounds like a children's cartoon about a friendly bear.
Yeah.
Mother Pucker and her kittens are going to the mushroom land. I don't know what I'm saying.
I'm losing my brand pillars every second I'm on this podcast.
That would work very well in Holland if you're going to mushroom land, because that's where you go to take mushrooms, apparently. Very good mushrooms in Holland.
So you are, of course, a multimedia node, Anna Muckhouse, Mother Pucker, whatever your fucking name is.
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself?
Ooh. I mean, probably self-facilitating media node.
Oh, I like that.
Ooh, yeah, that is very good.
Does that mean you have a lot of wanks?
Yeah, flick the bean on, you know,
my
spare time off, which is very minimal at the moment. I'm wasting it on you guys.
Could be wanking.
Self-facilitating media node. I heard that referred to somewhere and I just thought, you know what? I quite like that. Like an island. Just an island where you can do what you want from it. But that actually island has been encroached on by many, many individuals. And more every day.
Basically, you're on Instagram. That's what we're saying, isn't it?
Yeah.
just to nutshell it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where
you
can find
my family online. You know.
But that is, of course, that is not all. You are also a flexible working campaigner.
God, you smell a flexible working campaigner.
My name's Anna. I'm a flexible working campaigner. What is a flexible working campaigner?
So everyone can be a self-facilitating media node.
This is it. This looks like a piece of piss.
Yeah. I came on the Scummy Mummies podcast 5 years ago, and it's a very different thing now, I think, to when I came on the first time, which was where we were actually trying to fight to get flexible working on the table. Now, obviously, in sort of a period of 48 hours overnight, in a pandemic, a dark context, everybody suddenly went, oh, okay, yeah, you know, we can do that, otherwise we're going to lose loads of business. It's quite interesting to see, in, you know, from that 23rd of March point, all the companies who I was telling you when I came on this podcast years ago who were saying, it's not possible, we can't do it. Suddenly they're like, oh shit, if we don't log on and zoom in, we're going to shut down.
Yeah.
So it was like, it was always possible. So that's where we sit today.
I did think of you many times during the lockdown. My husband was working from home and all that. And I just thought, God, yeah, the number of times even he said to me, oh no, I've got to go into the office for this meeting and I can't do the hospital appointment or the pickup that day because I've got to be in the office, I've got to do that. And to be fair, yeah, he does say some things, you do miss some things like water cooler moments and just nipping for a coffee and having a chat and stuff like that. But generally, even if he had to go back into the workplace, he thinks one day a week would be fine for that.
I think they call it the hybrid model at Google. We're really working towards the hybrid model. But you know what? I miss a water cooler chat. I miss the awkward conversation around the kettle when you're making a cup of tea in that communal area. And I think a lot of people, the criticism I've had in this is, I love the 9 to 5. I love boundaries. Because, you know, the minute we went into lockdown, that dispersed. People were like working 24/7 and burning out. And I was like, no, I bloody love the 9 to 5, which is not a statement I think I imagine maybe saying at the beginning, because it's about choice. I choose to work that way and I want to go into the office a couple of days a week. That's how I work best. And yeah, give me an awkward water cooler moment. That's almost going to be the equivalent of going 2 weeks to Barbados at the moment, isn't it? Water cooler.
That's right. I think people are craving inflexible working, you know. they want, no, give me a time, give me a place, you know.
Yeah.
I need to be there. And but I think we're all craving human contact. Even the
just
awkward
not with
moments.
My loved ones.
Yeah.
With you guys, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
My own children, no. I'm quite happy to.
Cut the ties.
Yeah.
Guys? So it can be done. Politicians, if you're listening. Have you met Boris Johnson?
No, I haven't.
Would you like to?
Cycled past me once.
Did you spit in his face?
I have. I can't handle hearing, I think, Rishi and Bojo. When it was when they were patting all the mummies on the head during the pandemic, that was the low, I think. I mean, there were many lows, but it was just like, thanks to all the mummies for doing all the work. I'm like, I don't want a pat on the head.
Yeah.
I want an effective childcare system.
Yeah.
I would like furlough to work equally across both parties, please. Can we all just have a moment? I don't need the accolades and, you know, Rishi going, thanks, mummies.
Because what were the stats? Because there were so many conversations I had with mums 2 metres apart in the park, saying, oh, well, I've given up my work or I've had to be flexible because, you know, my husband's job. And it was the women who were, like, just kind of making all the accommodations.
100%. So I think 47% of those who stepped down from their roles in the pandemic... 40% were fathers. No, sorry, 40%.
Have you ever done maths before?
47%, but 40%.
The
40%. There were a lot more fathers kept working than mothers. Yes. Let's narrow it down.
That's the answer I was looking for.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to need that percentage.
47% more fathers continued working than mothers.
Right.
No, 40...
Oh, my God.
This is the content we're after.
This is...
What I do have, though, this is the one I do want to get in here, is, you know, like how we're made to feel like, you know, if we implement flexible working, we're doing this as a sort of favour.
Mm.
This is a favour kind of to womankind. And you're like, no, one of the biggest research studies by the Peterson Institute, 92 countries... 2,478 companies within that, they found if you have 30% or more women at the top, you make more money. So it's
fucking numbers for
you.
Yes!
And it's like, come on, this isn't a favour you're doing for people. This is like cold, hard cash.
Mm.
Stop looking at it even as a sort of nice to have or a little bonus ball.
Yeah, you're throwing or a into little patronising, all right, we'll let a couple in.
Women are great at the top.
Yeah. All right, women, we gave you your own toilet. Now we'll give you your own flexible workings. Good. Well, so, you know, well done for solving the flexible working problem by...
Did you just say unleashing flexible?
The flexible working problem. I suspect you developed this whole corona thing in a lab, Anna, just so you can unleash it on the world.
Yeah, I was just like, look, I need to be job done on this.
Yeah. It's like Breaking Bad.
That weird holiday you had in Wuhan where nobody could really understand why you'd gone over there.
Strange.
Yeah, now we're all working from home.
Mm. So Instagram, flexible working, and you're a disc jockey.
Yes!
DJ.
DJ. Oh my God. What's the correct term? Radio presenter or something?
Yeah, that's probably like, you know, I think a little bit of my children's spirit would disperse if they heard me calling myself a DJ.
Yes, I'm a DJ. Sometimes I DJ in the nightclubs or the discotheque.
What does your mum do? Jesus Christ, she's a DJ.
So you're on Heart. Do you actually, seriously, do you actually get to choose the records that you play?
The records? You mean like 1958?
Cassette tapes.
Yes. When you're winding up the gramophone. After you've reported on the goings-on in the war in North Germany, do you get to play the records and choose them?
Mother Hooker does. Yes. You do. You have a hand in it, but so like, you know, if I'm feeling a little bit of like shaggy, it wasn't me, I can get that on.
Do you do requests?
Yeah, we do requests.
Could you play, next time you're on Heart FM, could you play me some really, really fucking dirty drum and bass? That's what I really like.
No,
it's not within the framework.
I can get you Bruno Mars or Katy Perry. That's about it.
And
Africa
by Toto, surely.
Yeah, well, we could slip on it. Yeah. I did, unfortunately, because I'm mildly dyslexic. I threw forward to Mary J. Bilge the other day.
No,
and that was a low. Lige, sorry, Lige. The Bilge.
I think she's a drag queen. I'm not sure she should be if she's not. There you go, a free drag queen. Every. So you. I'm sorry to go on about this, but I'm genuinely interested in the technical ramifications. Machinations of this. So do you choose the record? You have to choose the records for each show?
No, so we have a music team that do that, but right. You can say, look, I'm doing a link on this. Shaggy, it wasn't me, had an affair at the weekend, didn't mean it, so maybe we could use that as a link.
I shagged Shaggy at the weekend.
Shaggy, yeah. He flopped it out on the table.
It's a record.
Yeah. It was me. And then Craig David, Monday, I went back on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. If we could again put that forward, so then there's a little bit of a like top and tail, you know, from Shaggy to CD to Craig David.
Well, same time, babes, one at both ends, I would. Fuck it.
That's a nice thought.
Actually. High fiving over your back.
I'll just write that down for my wank tonight. Thank you very much.
Which one would you have at the top, Shaggy or CD?
Am I in the middle here?
I would have Craig
you
David.
Taking it in turns.
Craig David. I reckon Craig David the front because he's prettier. But Shaggy, I reckon, would do it hard.
I mean, how do you think he got that name?
This is where Mother Sucker enters. Stage left.
Oh my god!
It's really gone off piece, hasn't it?
We were just talking about CDs.
You wanted to know about the machinations, I think, something like that. The radio.
Do you actually get to press the buttons to play the records?
Yeah, you do.
That's exciting. I don't know why I find that so exciting.
Because I remember you sent us a clip of you having like just some silence, like because the silence when you're a disc jockey. Feel like forever, like even like a couple of seconds of dead air.
It's debilitating.
Yeah,
it's literally like I don't think I've had such an adrenaline rush. Do you remember Graham Torrington, Late Night Love?
No,
you don't remember.
I don't know any of the words you just said.
Maybe one listener will, but
so he was like basically the guy that inspired me to get into radio. So back in the day, he's quite famous, he's quite well known. He would get people.
Not by me.
It's our fault.
This is pre-Tinder, so he would get people ringing up, going, you know, I just shagged, you know, my nan's best mate or whatever. Really. Uncomfortable home truth. He would sit there like an agony aunt and sort of just unpick, you know, this really grim threesome that has happened, you know, which sounds now, actually, when I look back on it, I think it was mostly dogging. looking back at it, I'm like, okay, we're in a forest, there were five of us. And so he'd take these, but he'd genuinely, like, break it down in a very... He would never patronise. He was so expert in the way that he would be, like, there for the emotional support. Anyway, this morning... He slid into my DMs, Graham Torrington, got his message, and he said, because I put a story up the other day saying how inspired I am, he said, hello, darling. I hear you're doing a bit of radio with Ed for Heart West Mids. Glad to hear I was just one of the many that inspired you along the way. No, Graham, not the many, the one.
Oh! Send him a tip pic.
Just one.
It's the least you can do.
But I can't. If I take my bra off, my tits on the floor, and I feel like I can roll it up.
No, just get the panoramic view. It'd be fine. It'd be nice.
Would you hold it while I take the picture?
There are many ways, Anna. There are many ways.
Just proper up.
Oh, so is it everything you thought it would be, though, being a radio disc jockey?
Yeah, it's just you don't. Sure, it's like when you get on stage, you don't ever go, "Oh yeah, I'm fine. I'm totally complacent with this." There's so much that can always go wrong. but it's lighting up my soul, you know. And I think, you know, I didn't expect 40 with two kids to start the career I wanted to do. You always think, oh, I'm over the hill. Or as my mum says, you're not over the hill, you're on top of it. I mean, to be honest, this is a slight side note, but my daughter has no idea what I'm doing at the moment. She does understand I love it. And that has really been special because I haven't really loved a job as much as I have this. And this morning I've been feeling a little bit guilty because I haven't obviously been seeing them very much at the moment because I'm commuting all the time to get to Heart West Mids. And I said, look, I've slipped a little Mars bar in the front of your lunchbox today. You can have that after school. And she said, we're not allowed sweets at school. And I was like, yeah, I know, but just put it in there. It's fine. She goes, integrity is doing the right thing when no one is watching.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, yeah, no, I'll take that with me. Don't worry. She's part of Pupils Parliament. I'm like, you know, what? Talk about Bojo. I'm more worried about what we've got rising through the ranks. I literally took the Mars bar out of her pat lunchbox and thought, you are a better human than I will ever be. Wow. Where did you learn this from?
Rules, babes, rules.
Yeah, I know.
Love it. Oh, my gosh. I had a funny conversation with my kids the other day at a cafe, and they were talking about Parks and Recreation and the, what's it called, the lead lady's called Leslie, who's, you know, played by the wonderful Amy Poehler. Anyway, Matilda said, oh, I'm a bit Leslie, but I thought she said, I'm a bit lesbian. And then I said, oh, I thought you said lesbian. And they're like, Mummy, you can't laugh about that. You can't laugh about the word lesbian. I was like, no, but I just misheard something. And they were like, no, you're being anti-gay people. And it was like this silence that I was like, okay. I thought you just said I was a bit lesbian. And
No. Her soul again is just dispersing.
Yeah.
These people are going to take over the world, and I wish they'd hurry up about it. Frankly, I'm ready. I welcome on you, overlords.
My sister, because she is a lesbian, she was so aghast when they were talking about having children, and Matt, my husband, just sort of like, you can have some of this if you want. Some of what? Well, you know, if you need the, you know, the, are you talking about your sperm?
The magic juice,
Just. Are you continuing to speak? Are words coming out of your mouth? And she was like, I don't want that eyebrow in my uterus. And that was it. But secondly, like, don't assume, just every pair of lesbians is hungry for your sperm. Because we're not.
In fact, quite the opposite, I think you'll find.
Please, could you just take your peen away?
Oh, my God.
It was extraordinary.
And then wait, if he had a baby with your sister...
Don't. This is Graham Torrington would be able to unpack this.
Her children would be your children's cousins and half brothers.
He hadn't thought it through. He was like, yeah, a couple of beers down. But it was just like, you know, when, because I think the problem is Matt's obviously, he grew up when, you know, Nuts and Zoo and Lads, My High Street Honey was a thing, you know. Mm. And now we've got a group of men who grew up in the 90s where that kind of chat bants. Lads was all there. Yeah. He's sort of unravelling in a Me Too era. And he's saying things still. I'm like, no, that's really bad.
No,
now getting it. He's like, can I pinch your ass by the washing machine? I'm like, you can, because there's been consent.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we've got to consent.
Yes. But if we've just had a round, I've told you to fuck off. Maybe not. Context is also key.
Not when my parents are over. Not when anyone's watching. Just, you know. But maybe... Sunday afternoon after a roast.
If you could just remove your penis from the table just for 5 minutes, that would be appreciated. Yeah.
Things going well then.
Well, I'm not going to have, you know, an uncomfortable familial setup. That's the most important thing.
I just can't get it out. But yeah, just your little girl going, this is my cousin and also my sister.
To be honest, that eyebrow that he has, yeah, it'll be immediately obvious.
Oh, bless him. Now, speaking of him, you are also a writer, Anna.
Do you know that.
Yeah.
Suddenly feel like I'm on Going for Gold. Anna is from Amsterdam and has written 3 books.
She got fingered on a park bench in Finchley, drinking White Lightning.
I don't remember that on Going for Gold. Oh. But were you watching the late night version?
Fingering's not a thing anymore, is it? Like, nobody
does it. Yes, it is. Fingered in the loo the other day.
Did you?
Oh, glorious.
Wow.
I mean, it was my own hand. No, I'm kidding. No, it was
what,
a nice
the loo at the what? Public loo? What loo?
I think
the spoons?
It was...
Toby Carvery.
It was at the guy's work.
Wow. Oh, I know Rich Run. Yeah.
I don't want to reveal too much. Fuck, it was glorious. Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I'll take it back.
Yes. Let's not reveal the name of the... But let's just say, well, Procter & Gamble, it was a bit risky.
God, that was... Oh, I've just had a... You know when you have a really good sex session and then you talk about it and you go... God, that was really good.
Anyway, where were we? Got distracted by fingering. It's not for the first time. So you wrote some fucking books.
Yeah.
You wrote Parenting the Shit Out of Life and Where's My Happy Ending with...
Matt.
That's his name, isn't it? Yeah. I've met him 40 times.
The owner of the pain.
Yes. and the eyebrow. And you've written a novel. Exciting. Yeah. Which I have read. And honestly, I messaged you about this the other day. It's brilliant, Anna. I really think it's fantastic. I sat down to have a flick. And also I thought I'd read a book. I sat down and I thought, oh, I'll read a couple of chapters. I've got a bit of time. And like an hour and a half later, I was just going, Pete... No, go away. I'm reading. And I just read the whole thing in a day because it was unputdownable. It's a real, I was going to say flicker, page turner.
It's a real bean flicker.
Both, yes. So congratulations.
And it's called Underbelly.
Yes.
Yes.
What's it about, Anna?
Well, I'm so glad you liked it because it's always really nerve-wracking. I think, you know, when you write maybe about your own life, you're kind of aware of the story, which is what we've done non-fiction before. But going into fiction, you know, it's got to be a watertight story to keep people kind of going. It really started from that C-section scar. So I had a picture done of my C-section scar and I just thought... That's the real line of kind of judgment of motherhood. You know, like you start there. Are you doing a natural birth or are you having a C-section? And it all kind of like, for me, that path of quite sort of feeling of judgment began at that line where I was kept saying, oh, no, it's a non-elective C-section. Like if it was an elective C-section, it would be judged and all of that. So really...
I sort of even resent the word natural for natural birth as if it's somehow... Because that implies unnatural. It's unnatural.
Exactly.
Like a life-saving medical procedure. Yeah. Like, no one says, did you have your appendix out naturally, or did you have it, you know? Or no one says, oh, or see, you've got your broken leg in a plaster, in an unnatural plaster cast. Like, yeah. I get that there's a difference, but is natural the right word for that?
No.
I don't. It's not my favourite.
You've got to get it out. You know, both mine came out of the bonnet, and you know, it's definitely not the easy route out. Slapping open up like a tin can.
Yeah.
And so I think it really started there, and it really began. The writing process began as a sort of therapy project when I was seeing a lot online of disconnection, like in this kind of world of instant connection. I just thought, well, we can't see each other, so we're missing so much in terms of eye contact, you know, in terms of communication, the words we use, and people are misinterpreting things that are being said. And it's kind of, it felt so flat to me, the world that we were operating in. You layer on top of that the judgment that we talk around, you know, breast or bottle, C-section or natural birth, all of that. And I just thought, this is almost like a perfect storm. And then you start to see the impact of a significant disconnection. So, you know, not to dwell on this too much, but, you know, was hugely impacted by what happened to Caroline Flack. And you start to really dig into the absorption she had with the negativity on the internet. That her family said she started her job at a time pre-internet and she was okay then, even though she got a lot of shit. You know, her and Ollie Mers weren't liked very much on the X Factor, but where it turned for her was being absorbed by the negativity that she could read online and the impact that that has on people, you know. And I think we went into Underbelly. I started writing it as sort of therapy project to try and process a lot of what I was feeling. Because to be honest, like I've had people say all kinds of things about me. I mean, I look in the mirror every morning and I troll myself. You know, no one has to do it for me. I'm like, babes, you're looking a shit today. Are you feeling shit? We all do it enough, I think, when we look in the mirror in the morning. And I needed somewhere to put the two sides. The fact that you've got, let's say, people like me, who's out there, incredibly privileged, painfully so, who is getting all of these opportunities and is promoting that and
it's appreciating that. And there's a bit, you know, talk about the piles of jiffy bags,
piles of jiffy bags, and things that turn up on your front door. You know, I don't really do much of that anymore because I became so increasingly aware of how people were feeling around that, you know. But I got to that too late. And So you've got this person who's been put on a pedestal, which is uncomfortable anyway. I think I said to you, my dad looked at me and he, when I was younger, and he just said, you know, you should never look up to people, never look down on people, just look straight ahead, eyes on the prize sort of thing. And actually he said, speak to the bin man as you would the queen. And I
think, well, I'd tell the queen to fuck off.
And the bin man could come in for a cup of tea. Yeah. Finest china out. But I think that's where it really came from, was this pedestaling of individuals online. Mm. And how that makes, let's say, a postnatally depressed mother who is feeling she doesn't have the right breast pump, who is feeling she doesn't have the opportunities that are being thrown at you. That disconnect, you know, I think, you know, it's not in any way, this isn't a puff piece about influencers. If anything, it's giving the reality of what definitely, it takes to be there. But it's giving the other side of the story, the follower and the influencer disconnect and clash often. And what it is to be, I think, a mother at the moment under the glare of an iPhone, you know, whether you have one follower or a million followers, that dopamine impacts you the same. Mm. Those feelings of you're not enough, the feelings of comparison, they're weaved into your every single day life. And often a lot of the women I've spoken to have a baby on one arm that is crying and their phone in the other, which is their connection to this other world. And then they're very vulnerable looking into that world, and you've got some twat like mother Pooka, you know, like, you know, flashing her tits around and going, oh, I've just got a new radio show and it's all great. How is that going to make someone feel? So I think it was really wanting to not pick a side. And I hope when you read it, you felt really conflicted between the two characters, Lo and Dylan. They both do, as we were saying earlier, terrible things. But actually, we all do terrible things. Mm. We are all implicitly flawed individuals. You throw that under the glare of Instagram and it all becomes more magnified. So really wanted to tell the story of the beauty and the complexity of female relationships. Mm. You know, and that was it really, in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, I think you did that brilliantly done, and I love that the characters, although they have things in common, like, because that also is a thing we hear, oh, you know, we're all united, they've both got kids, they've got kids in the same class at school and all of this, but then you, because it's told from both their perspectives, you really do see both sides, and they're quite different in terms of their backgrounds and their situations and all of that. And I even, like, it's not hopefully not a spoiler, just saying the opening chapter is a scene in a supermarket, that they're in the supermarket at the same time, and it's told from their different perspectives. And I definitely identified more with one character because of my situation, and reading the other character side of it, I was like, God, yeah, I don't have to think about what she thinks about when she goes into a supermarket. And that's the truth for so many people. And fuck me, I just thought it was brilliant. So yeah.
Thank you. Do you want to just put that on Amazon? Fuck me.
Fuck me. Yeah, she's done a blinder. Bless it.
And I think the thing Matt and I really wanted to pull out in this, you mentioned your kids, is the innocence of children's relationships, you know, how they come together in that reception class, and then you have play dates. So these parents are brought together and you have to kind of get on because your kids get on. Mm. And to see the difference in how they both get on, the kids get on like a house on fire, and these two women get on incredibly well. It's then the Instagram bit or the social media bit that tears them apart, because they're seeing a distorted view of that person online. So, you know, in that moment where, and there's a point in the book where they have that beautiful moment of togetherness from very different socioeconomic backgrounds, but they've got a brilliant sense of humour. They both love each other, and they have that moment with, I won't ruin it, but they do flash their mouth a bit at each other.
We've all done it this morning.
Show me yours. I'll show you mine if you show me yours. Yeah. And they have that. And they have that. We have with our female friendships, like right now, if you're listening, you've had that beautiful moment of vulnerability, humour with another woman. Mm. And to see that pulled apart by an app, that's the bit that I have seen, definitely, across the internet. And the bit that we wanted to really write about and question, I suppose, that we don't actually all have to love or like each other. Mm. We also don't need to break each other and tear each other apart either.
Yeah.
It's a sort of nice midway ground, I think. Yeah. It isn't grievous bodily harm, but isn't completely ignoring someone.
No, it is weird. Someone came up to me in the school playground the other day, a mum did, and she said, "You've been looking really good in your photos lately." what she was implying, what I got from that was like, you, I mean, because I'm, you know, self-conscious in that regard, going, you look shitter in real life.
Well, you know, Ellie Taylor, I do the podcast with, she said, I was really toying with the Paris filter on a photo, you know, where you just hover your finger, hovers yeah. over it going, and then she realised I was putting a Paris filter over myself, but also a sanitary bin in the background. And she thought, I'm not sure it needs this. Let's not put the Paris filter on the sanitary bin.
The book does also talk, I found a lot of it really interesting, and it really touched another me, because you talk about what it is like to be on Instagram and the negativity and the gossip websites and all of that. I mean, how do you feel about the gossip stuff now? Is that, do you think, like, some people are campaigning for those sites to be shut down and stuff? Do you agree with all that?
Well, I think, you know, we put in the book, gossip has been around for centuries, so you cannot stop people gossiping. You know, ultimately, we're probably doing it here without realising it. I think the difference is gossip used to be over a garden fence. It used to be around a coffee table, maybe playing bridge. It wasn't ever amplified to, like, thousands of people and written in stone on the internet. That's the difference. So there is a line, I think, almost increasingly, not a legal line, but a moral line of, yes, gossip, absolutely. But if you're hidden behind a sort of veil of anonymity, if you compare it to, like, LinkedIn, where everybody's accountable, it's a place of great discussion. You can still disagree with people significantly, but you are held accountable to your job, your name, your profile, your photo. You're not allowed on LinkedIn without any of those things. You can't be a faceless avatar. Whereas I think that veil of anonymity, I think half of it is brilliant. To be absolutely honest, half of the gossip that I've either read about myself or other people, it's bits of it I'm like, we're all learning here, and actually, you know what, that's going to probably change how I operate online. That's a very good point. So there's been some brilliant discussion in the underbelly of the internet, but then that veil of anonymity gives free rein to say and do what you want, and that's when sometimes the rocks get hurled. So I think those sites get pulled down by the venom at times from people, perhaps you don't know their context, but are having a shit time themselves. But if I'm being honest, I've used quite a lot of it as market research. I am a business, you know. I have never gone into this expecting everyone to like me. Like I said, my own family don't like me at times. I don't like me at times, you know. I look at posts I did a couple of years ago and a little bit of me sort of dies. You know, you're like, oh God, that was awful. So, you know, we're all learning online, and I think you have to have discussion, open discussion, but I don't think...
So you wouldn't shut the sites down? Do you think the people running the sites should be more responsible for moderating them, or we as individuals just need to...
I think there needs to be accountability. I think anonymity doesn't work. That's it. It's that simple. I don't know, you can't shut down freedom of speech, you know, that's never going to happen. And I think that's, you're never going to get to a point where that is a possibility. But I think more moderation and accountability and... It just not being anonymous, because I have always taken criticism. I get it, you know, I've had it from work this week, somebody analysing how I am on the radio, and you take it and you learn from it. So I don't think they're inherently terrible, but I think there are some areas of the internet where there's quite a lot of pain. And I think that is dangerous, because that can be translated to other people. And I do think, not in any way to draw parallels, but I think watching what happened to Caroline Flack and knowing the things I felt on a much lower level, you know, points where I've not wanted to be here, quite significant points of feeling really, I was going to use the word discombobulated. It's a really long word to use at quite an emotive point. But feeling really untethered, not knowing who I was, because when people are telling you what they think you are, you start to believe a lot of it. So it's taken me a lot to actually rework out, oh, I know who I am. I know what's right. I know where my moral compass is here. But I can't sit back, I don't think, and know from a lot of other people who are going through this at the moment that they are feeling those things I felt and are getting a far worse time of it than I ever did. I think it's just, we're all guinea pigs, aren't we? That's how it feels. That's the terrifying bit.
Is it about communicating the impact as well? Because I don't think I've said this on here before, but when I was about 25, they were going to do, it never happened, but they were going to do a TV show about video games, which is my background, and they had open auditions. So I went to these auditions, and there was me, and there was a lot of nerds like me, you know, who didn't look TV ready. I include myself, I'm not being rude. And then there was this girl who just looked stunning, and she was about my age, but she had beautiful makeup. I don't think I even had hardly any makeup on. She had beautiful makeup, and she looked really funky and cool, and she had these awesome... She looked like she should be on the telly. Mm. And we chatted a little bit, and she was lovely and clearly really confident, and it was great, and we did the auditions. And then after that, we were told it got down to the last two. And I correctly guessed... it was me, because obviously I'm hilarious. This girl, and you can probably guess where this story is going, in the end, she got the job, and I didn't, and they rang me in, and they basically said, it's because you don't look right.
And I was like, lovely. Yeah. What can I do with that
feedback in the 90s?
Yeah.
It's your Luke.
They said in a roundabout way, you were very clever and funny, but you're not, you know, that this is not for you, because you don't look like that. And I did. I do you know what? I didn't actually even find it that upsetting, because I was like, I know. World of TV. I've seen her. Yeah.
Who got the job?
She got the Caroline. Oh, it's Caroline. It was Caroline Flack. Yeah, sorry, okay. It was Caroline Flack who got the job. And then, as I say, as it happened, I think they made a pilot and it didn't happen anyway. So whatever. But then, from that moment, that was a sort of early life lesson of, oh right, I am in a box. All this dream, believe you can achieve whatever you want. That is kind of horseshit. You know,
join her manifestation course.
Exactly. Don't dream, don't achieve. Don't
just
believe
it, leave it alone. If you can afford to, pay someone else to do it. That's what I always tell my children. But yeah, I do remember going, oh right, okay, no, that's maybe so. Then I pursued the journalism a bit more, but then it became almost a joke. As our careers progressed in their very different ways, you know. And
well, you weren't on The X Factor.
No, I remember like watching The X Factor and like going, well, you know, I'm standing in a pub with Helen Thorne in a gold catsuit talking to 12 people who don't give a fuck about my vagina. How different our lives, what different paths our lives have taken. And we used to joke about it all the time, sliding doors, and we saw her at a party, didn't we?
Yeah, once. We did. We saw her at like a BBC thing. I remember you standing next to her, and like you were about half a metre away. And I was like, oh my God, this is sliding doors. That's the other you.
And I remember looking at her and thinking, God, she looks gorgeous. And again, she looked much so better than me. Absolutely gorgeous and groomed. And she was smiling and happy and laughing. She was having a brilliant... So I didn't talk to her because I didn't want to bother. And God knows she wouldn't fucking remember me. Mm. But, you know, so I left her be. But I was like, wow, she, you know, what a lovely life she must have and how wonderful. Mm. And again, genuinely, I wasn't like, I was like, oh, good for her. Because I had you then and we had a laugh and it was all... Yeah, we were doing what we were doing. Mm. But I thought, yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Have you seen the Caroline Flack documentary?
I haven't, no. So Am I in it?
She's like, oh my God, Ellie Gibson. She has a picture of you. Yeah.
No, the thing that was interesting in that was that everybody saw her that way. Yeah. The way you've just literally pictured her is that shiny flaxen hair, you know, had a good time with Harry Styles back in the day. There was a picture that everyone had in their minds, but actually the absorption she had with the negativity was debilitating. They said at Christmas, you know, she would come and she wouldn't have her head up from the phone. Just reading sites about herself. And you think that people like somebody like Caroline Flack with that phenomenal amount of fame, not that you don't have that, Ellie, different types of fame, but you would not think that was equated to somebody like her. Yeah. But she did, and I think don't ever think people don't read what you say, you know, aware that that's what people will read. And if you are a vulnerable person, and that doesn't necessarily, you know, you can look at Caroline Flack, she was incredibly vulnerable when you actually look at it under the surface, but she had an incredible mask that she kept putting on every single day. That was the bit that terrified me, the disconnection between what was being on, what was on stage and what was behind the scenes.
So if you are writing shit on the internet, maybe don't fucking do that. That's my advice.
But just
if
be you're, nice. Just be nice. Or shut up.
But if it's happening to you, how do you deal with it? Are you one of these people who doesn't read it or...
Yeah, I mean, it's not been that bad, to be absolutely honest. Really? I think I'm just got better at acknowledging it, you know, I think. And that's, it's not anything shameful. It's just the fact that you are operating... And you've got to be frank, I'm a business. Mm. I'm not a person out there. And like, John Lewis get a load of shit, you know, for their deliveries and the way their content comes across. Like,
Which is a shame because he's a very nice man, John Lewis.
Oh, I love John Lewis.
His wife on the podcast.
Yes, we did. Yeah, Kemi's
This is a side note, but you know Jason Derulo?
Not personally.
The singer-songwriter. His name was apparently Jason Derulo initially. Oh. But he shortened it, apparently. He was on the phone to John Lewis. And you know when you get to the point where you've got customer service and they're like, sorry, what's your name? Can you spell it? D-E-S-R-O-U... Derulo! It's Derulo!
I
did not know.
So, you know, like, that point where you literally lose it.
Is it also true that Bruno Mars, his name used to be Snickers, but he just got people... so you go, oh, it used to be called Marathon. He just got tired of the joke, so he just changed it. That's a very obscure reference.
No,
but no, coming back to what you were saying, I think we all have to acknowledge criticism within our line of work. And I think I've built quite a robust system of I know my moral compass. I know what I am and what I'm not. And I think the problem was when I didn't, when I was in a sort of postnatal period. It's very hard to know who you are and see sort of the wood from the trees. So when I read anything, I'm like, but that's not true. So I'm not going to argue with that. Like, it's just not true. So I know that. And then if there's things that are on there that, like, I don't understand why she's done this, I'm like, that's maybe a good question. It's really useful to know, because I find sometimes perhaps the adulation is difficult sometimes as a criticism, because it's not a normal state for a human to be in. Actually, most people just go about their day and talk to each other. You don't go, I love you, you're brave, you're an inspiration, or I fucking hate you, you're evil, you're a cunt. It's kind of a midway ground where you just go about your day and head off to Tesco Metro. You know, it's like in your mind. And when you are really porous, which you are in that postnatal period, you're literally like, okay, the worse I'm feeling, the more I'm going to put out there. Yeah, I look back at the woman who was putting out stories every single day, chasing something. That was the worst I felt, the more I put out to try and get the hit, the dopamine hit. And that was really, coming back to underbelly, we wanted that social media addiction in there. Again, regardless of whether you have thousands of followers and are flogging breast pumps, or whether you have 10 followers and are feeling really, like I said, porous.
Yeah.
That you're absorbing everything that comes at you in that app. And we all do it, you know. And how would you draw the line?
Well, as I say, it's next book. And you wrote, it says Anna Whitehouse on the cover, but you did write it with the famous sperm donor, Matt Farquhar song.
Farquharson.
So what? How come? Is it like Frederick Forsyth, where his wife used to type it up? But we all know what that means.
I'm basically the secretary. Yeah. No, so for novels, for fiction, you have to have one name.
Do you?
Yeah, they don't allow two names. That was our biggest issue. I know people get confused, apparently. But really? If you look at any fiction, there's only ever one name.
Oh yeah, so, I never thought of that.
You
before.
Can on non-fiction have two names. So we got at this really difficult point where we were like, okay, to be fair, the heart of the book is me. You know, like, the book wouldn't be here without a lot of the things I've learned on living online. So we had a long chat about it, and you know, people know Mother Pucker, Anna Whitehouse, and actually I think there's an intrigue in what actually is it like being where she is, you know, for all of the criticism we can kind of throw at that. Like, what's the reality of it? You know, because we see these, what, 9 photos in your grid, this 2D picture, but what's the 3D picture? So basically, Matt, the way we work, Matt would write me a recipe card. He'd say, right, we've got all of this that you've got from your notes when you were feeling really shit over the last 3 years. And I just typed and typed and typed, never meant for publishing, just for myself. All of this, can we have 2,000 words in this chapter where these two characters do this and they feel this? So I would write it, and then he would pull it together, nuts and bolts, and really hold it up. But we couldn't have done it without each other. I'd say it's 50-50 in how we wrote it. But this is, he's such an ally. You know, he was like, this book will sell better with your name on it. That's the truth. And he's not precious, and I'm not precious. You know, it wasn't that I was like, I want my name on it. I do, there's a part of me that wants to own the narrative on this, and wants to stand up and say, look, this is what it's really like. You might not like me, but this is the truth. This is the human story behind it, which is quite interesting. I think when you start reading it, you start seeing the nuance of what it takes to operate online, the disconnection with your own family, the arguments with your partner. I said publicly when my eldest looked at me and just said, sometimes I think you don't like me when you're on your phone. And I think those dark moments, everybody has had them. Mummy. 1 minute, just a minute, stop. And you're like, stop for what? That's the point that I wanted to question here. So, yeah, we did write it together. But, you know, I've sidelined the patriarchy in favour of the matriarchy.
Check.
Well, so there we go.
It's a bloody turn, isn't it?
It's just, he's just wanging his wiener around out back.
Well, there we go. Underbelly, and it's out When is it out?
5th of August.
5th of August.
Perfect. Summer read.
Summer read, yes. Yeah.
It's out a week after my book.
Yes. So, by Helen's first.
Yes.
Yeah, my name's not on Helen's book either, but I actually wrote most of it. What's your book called, Helen?
It's called Get Divorced, Be Happy. And Ellie has written the best chapter in it, which is called Ellie's Bit. Literally, that's what it's called.
Yes, I'm going to get it serialised in the Sunday Times.
Is this where you tell Pete you're divorcing him? Is this a love letter to Pete? All right, you know what? I've read this book. You're getting on my norks. Yeah. I'm out.
Get out. Oh, done so with you. Excellent. But yes, honestly, it's a great book. Definitely 3 stars out of 5. Okay, so at least.
3.5 is always nicer.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, it is time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions, and we have a sponsor for the confessions.
I love this sponsor, Ellie. It is Babees. Now, we were casually chatting about Babees before we started recording, weren't we, Anna? And you said that you've used it.
I'm a Babees fan.
So
yeah.
Babees is a veg-led weaning product, and they have delicious pouches and little yummy poofs. What are they? Lentil?
I don't think it's a puff, darling.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yes. It's finger food.
It's not a futon.
It's 100% lentil puffs. Yeah, so really gorgeous, yummy, very...
I've eaten this before. I don't know if anyone ever has had one of these pouches and you just squirt it into your mouth. You have a little, like, a little sort of elevensies.
Oh, yeah, a little...
Thai green chicken curry, yeah, 11z.
But guilt-free, because it's 100% organic. It's got, yeah, it's got nurturing future foodies. This is it, because they're sort of the thinking behind it is getting more savoury veg into children early on will have excellent healthy habits in the future.
Yes, and it is just for babies. They like to say, we make food for babies, not baby food. You see what they've done there?
Yes.
Very strong.
I like it.
I've got a sweet potato, pear, coconut water, brown rice and quinoa. I mean, quinoa. That sounds like a bloody hangover cure. Not that babies should ever have
hangovers. I'm actually thinking I'll have this for lunch. It's brown rice, broccoli, peas, lemongrass and kefir lime.
Bloody hell. These babies are eating better than me.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tuck into the poofs.
Yes, very nice. Thank you very much.
Are your
much.
Children quite picky eaters, Anna? Do they?
They like a spaghetti hoop.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'll be... winging some quinoa their way tonight.
Of course, they have like then, and it's not just fancy hippie food for hipsters. It's like cottage pie and like curry,
and I do have to spell it out, Ellie. It is B-A-B-E-A-S-E, babies. So it's sort of like putting the E's with the babe. I mean, it's great.
Oh,
I like it.
I had it more in sort of Baba Ganoush arena, like babies. I've offended
making
an entire
easy.
Nation.
Yes, and we've got a discount code, haven't we, Ellie?
Oh. Fuck me, have we really?
Outrageous! So, all you have to do is go to babees.co/shop and type in Scummy Mummies 20 at checkout and you get 20% off.
That's Scummy Mummies 20. See, I could be a bloody radio presenter. It's a piece of piss. You can keep high. I'm going for Radio 4.
Calling Graham Torrington now.
Yes.
He's just retired.
And we'll put it in the show notes as well because I think that makes it easier when they can read it. I mean, my talking voice is not very good.
Babees.co/ So babees.co/shop. Fuck's sake, Ellie. babees.co/shop. Google babees. You can bazees. The Centre for Tropical Diseases. Google babees and put in Scummy Mummies 20% off. Oh, God. Can we just do the confessions? Do you, Helen Thorne, have a confession for us?
I do. On Sunday, it was my son's 10th birthday, so we had a lovely picnic garden party in the front garden. And I'd made a lovely big chocolate cake covered in sweets. It was all gorgeous, just about to serve it. And my daughter tipped over a bottle of Prosecco over the top.
Oh.
You're like,
did I serve it anyway? Yes, I fucking did.
Of course you bloody did. You're not a millionaire.
That's right. Percy Pigs and Prosecco cake. And everybody slept well after that.
That sounds bloody delicious.
It was fucking delicious.
My God, if M&S made a Percy Pig and Prosecco cake tomorrow, it'd bloody sell out. Fuck Colin the sodding caterpillar.
I'm copywriting it now, yeah. M&S. Yes.
He's been usurped anyway on caterpillars in their eyes. Tonight, Matthew, you're going to be the Aldi Colin the caterpillar. Anna, do you have a Scummy Mummy confession?
Yeah, this week, so I'm doing a lot of commuting. I'm on a train a lot to Birmingham, and there was no bog roll in the train toilet. And all I had was my fabric face mask. So I used it, and without thinking, and then I thought, that's obviously not going to go down a pan. You know, there's those aluminium pans. And then I thought, actually, also I had an eco conundrum as well.
But was that's so right. Fish don't need face masks.
No. So I slotted the used face mark, like, that I'd used to
soiled.
Wipe. Come on, my
we
fanny.
Number one,
luckily.
Oh, she wiped for number one. I drip dry in that
situation.
Do you?
I can't have a moist gusset. No. I can't.
I spent a lot of time travelling in Southeast Asia in my 20s. And very often there's no loo roll, so there isn't, unless you remember to pack a Kleenex, there isn't.
So you sort of straddle and shake.
I've always got drips though.
Shake it off. Just shake it off. That's exactly what she imagined. Ellie straddled over a like that's a what hole in the floor,
yeah.
Just flicking her urine everywhere.
People always know it's my fanny's death. That's how it goes.
So I put it in all I had in my bag to contain it was a used Squares sort of vinegar packet. So I slotted this used face into the used Squares sort of vinegar packet. There's so much there's a lot of sort of vinegary.
If it was still on vinegar discos, it would have actually burned a hole in the bottom of the packet.
Put it in, and it was just that moment where you just rifling around trying to find your keys.
Oh no!
And you forget. And then you're like, what's it? Oh, God. And then you remember that you're just not functioning.
No.
You're not a functioning adult, basically. Yeah. It was just. But for the environment, it was good. I did wash it, hand washed it.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was back on my face the next day.
Oh!
So there you go.
Amazing.
There's a story for you.
You are a good person, Anna Whitehouse.
Back on those chops.
A story.
Ready for the number two.
I mean, as this multimedia, self-intimidating multimedia nodes go, Anna, you are definitely one of my favourites.
Multitasking, yes.
Just love you both so much. You know, it's very easy to gloss over the like, oh, it's all so funny, let's be self-deprecating, but you are just two brilliant humans.
Oh, thank you.
You have supported me in ways that... Jesus Christ, I'm about to do a Gwyneth Paltrow Oscars speech and you just trump.
But the list that I've had to take
fuck
my glasses off.
Can I just go? I just want to go.
She just farted. In the middle of Anna's very moving.
Yeah, that was not your moment.
Okay,
you
Anna,
could have held it on just, for one more minute. I was about to literally say the most beautiful words and
Anna,
I'm done.
Just focus on me. Focus on me. Just talk to me. Eye contact just with me.
It's
looking at me. Looking
I can
at me.
Smell it.
Oh my God.
I'm so sorry.
You've been eating these bloody lentil puffs. She's been on the lentil puffs.
It
told you to save them for the advert.
I need more fibre.
I do fucking
no, you bloody don't. Anna, what were you saying? I'm a great person. Yes, I know. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's just sum up. Every minute we're apart seems like an hour.
Yeah, cool.
It's been emotional.
Thanks. Anna, we love you too. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast and all that you do and for writing an excellent book. And thank you for listening. If you want to come and see us live, fingers crossed, we're going to be live.
Yes, we will be somewhere, somehow. Go to scummymummies.com. Do go to the shop. That's
I can't even take you seriously.
Sorry, I've been holding that fart. I've been getting cramps. I'm trying to be very relaxed about it.
It was just not the moment.
No.
You've got the emotional crescendo.
Wait, two more minutes.
I was expecting. Like, the only sincere bit in the whole podcast. Oh, and you can, fuck you both, you can all pre-order my book at Amazon.
Yeah, well, she's Jesus. Oh, let's end this. Anyway, you know, and also go to babies.co/shop, Scummy Mummies 20% off. Get yourself some puffs, fart on your podcast, do what you like. I don't care anymore. Amazing. We love you, Anna. Love Thank you for listening, everybody. Until next time.
Bye-bye. Bye. And your soft cover is out now for the other one.
Yes, the paperback. Yeah. Where's my happy
ending? That's what they're called now.
My happy ending is somewhere far away from here.
What's this hardcover? The opposite is a soft cover.
Hardback.
And a paperback, darling.
Soft cover. Good.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.